Alex, I pre-ordered this book.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it's so beautiful. Oh my gosh, it's good.
It's beautiful.
It literally is the size of a Bible.
Wow. So I think it's gorgeous.
It's so pretty. And I think at the end, we should do a reading from scripture.
Love.
And I'll just pull up a random page and let's just see what these women have to say.
I love it. Our Queen Glennon.
Yeah. They're all queens are on tour right. They're on tour right now. And my aunt went to go see them with her best friend in Tyson. She said it was so good. I need to hear about how it was. But she's asking all these questions, basically answers to life's 20 questions. And it's like, why am I like this? That's the question. How do I love my person? How do I make peace with my body? Parenting. Am I doing this right?
Wow, these are like huge life questions.
Huge. Why am I so angry? What's the point? I think these are like such existential questions everybody has.
Yeah.
Especially in their 20s, you know?
1000%.
So remind me at the end and we'll do that.
Okay, I love that idea.
Yeah. But I also am excited because I think that we need to talk about something that I feel like in the cultural zeitgeist we're kind of already talking about online like a little
bit. I think so.
But I was remembering when you said this to me, I think I should like pull up the text or something because it was so well said.
Yeah, was it over text? I remember it being, some of it was in the car because I was dropping off at the airport, right?
Some of it was in the
car. I have a new phone. I don't think I'll on my computer, but keep going.
Yeah, I'll try to find it too. We were in the car. It was probably like 8 months ago or something. I don't know. I don't think it was like a full year ago, but.
It's giving summer vibes to me for some reason,
no, you're right.
But
it probably was almost a year ago, like late summer. I was driving you back to the Richmond airport. And you were like, I don't want to leave. And I was like, I don't want you to leave. Like, stay. And you were like, maybe I should. And then you went in and that's like a B-side to the story. But I think your flight like almost got canceled. And I was like, do you want me to come back? And you're like, maybe. But you ended up getting on your flight.
Yeah, I tried to get out of it.
But I just remember texting you while you were waiting because you were like figuring out your flight info. And I was feeling discouraged about something or like some situation, and you dropped this piece of knowledge on me, and I was like, Alex, I've never heard it said like that. That really, it gave me a very powerful reframe, and I just think that you should share with the girls because I think it's a timely thing, and I think we should just like explore what it even means, because as a headline I think everybody could get all their panties in twist about
it.
That's actually not the point.
100%. Yeah, so I think
you go for it.
Yeah, I care a lot about this topic. I personally am like on the side of the internet that like talks a lot about this, but I don't know how many other, like how normal that is for other people or like if other people see stuff like this. So I'm always curious about like how common this topic is or even just like how common women are talking about this type of thing with their friends or with, you know, whatever. But yeah, I think our clickbait title is Marriage is Bad for Women. That's not my actual thesis. I am a happily married person, so I understand some irony there, and like I'll get into all that as well. But there's like more nuance and complexity to like what I think that I'd love to get in a little bit more. But I do think I have a little bit of a fear that like people misunderstand where I'm coming from. And this is like my outlook on life. Of course, like anytime we show up in the world, we're usually taking not only our own personal experiences, but like what we see in the world. And so like many of my opinions and thoughts actually don't come from my own personal experience, but actually from like observations or like people I'm friends with or know in life. And even just the media we consume and things like that. But yeah, I also like feel like I need to like clarify I'm like setting my like stance for my argument here. Like I'm pretty much talking about heterosexual marriages as well, and just like need to like clarify that. Obviously, this is not everyone's experience. I do think this is kind of more of a uniquely heterosexual marriage issue than somebody who is gay, lesbian, queer. I think ultimately the issue today that so many people face when it comes to the difficulties of relationships, and that means dating, committed relationships, or like a traditional marriage, is just like we prioritize our love interest more than we prioritize other relationships. And I think that that ultimately is like why so many people have resentment or tension or whatever that looks like, because we just like put so much value in like finding the one and like being in love. And it's great. Like I am more of a traditional person. I waited to live with my partner until we were married.
Guys, she loves the gays though. Like she's
No, yeah, just like how I like am in my relationship, like, or how I see relationships, I guess. But it's not my number one, or not my only number one top relationship in my life. And I think that's where sometimes like I might think a little bit differently than other people. And I see it as one of my important relationships, but I have so many important relationships and friendships in my life that like, I need to invest in time, love, traveling, money, all those things. Like, mm-hmm. And I just think that's sometimes like where people go a little wrong, in my opinion.
And when you say, just to clarify for people listening too, like when we say it's not working, what do you mean by that? Because I feel like not working isn't just automatically divorce. Like, of course, we know 50% totally. Of marriages end in divorce, or maybe it's higher. I don't know what the newest stat is, but I feel like we've been saying 50% for so long. But to me, that's not the only example of it not working. Like another part of it not working is like maybe women taking on way too much emotional and physical labor inside the home, and they're really not feeling heard. And like, what else comes to your mind?
Totally. Like, I mean, it's not working. Yeah. I mean, today, most research shows us that women do the vast majority of the household labor, which is unpaid labor. Right. And that's just not even like, I'm not even talking about parenting. Like parenting is a whole nother issue of like how the mental load is divided up, and it's usually not 50-50. But I think that when we place like it being the most important thing, that like this is how I'm like finding the right person, you were asking basically like what does this look like if it's not just divorce? And yeah, I think exactly. It could look like being in a room full of girlfriends who, you know, I think we can all relate to the experience of someone or a couple of people constantly venting about issues in their relationship. And of course, every relationship has things that you should be able to vent about, and like complaining and venting is a form of friendship. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but like, you know, it's the constant repetitive complaining, which then maybe makes friends and people around you feel like, are you happy? Like, do you like this person? Like, right. You know, I sometimes think like, I want to ask people like, well, why are you with this person? It doesn't sound like you like them. It doesn't sound like you're happy. Why are we doing it? And again, I think it goes back to this issue that we like, as a society, just place so much value on like, well, yeah, but like we're together and we've committed, like whatever that looks like. And don't even think of not being with this person as an option, but that's because we're afraid of being alone. And why then do we not value, I actually like want to be happy and have fun. And if this relationship isn't bringing those things to the table, then I'm going to go find it elsewhere, right? I'm going to go find it in my friendships where we can go have fun. And I'm going to go find it in my, I don't know, experiences, travel, work, whatever it is. But like, there's just like so many other places that you can get fulfilled of whatever that is you're looking for, that I think a lot of people just like don't think there's another option and think the relationship is the only way to get those things, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I know it's gotta be tough. I am not currently in a committed relationship, and I think you're having your married POV. This is like such a good dynamic for this conversation, because I feel like we do have those different POVs on it, like in our lives right now. But I agree. I feel like when there's a dynamic of, I think everything's such a spectrum. So of course there's an end of the spectrum. Like when you mention talking about, you know, when people occasionally like make fun of their partner in jest or something, you know, that's one thing. But then
totally,
there's certain times where it gets turned all the way up to an 11, and it's more like they almost in group settings are like on the defense from each other. And it just feels like that the dynamic in their relationship is not partnership and true cheerleaders for one another. It's like ragging on the other person in front of other people to like, what, get a laugh from your friends? Or like, why is that more important than respecting and like honoring your partner? You have to go home with that person at the end of the day. And those things kind of rub me the wrong way too, usually, in just some different dynamics I see. I'm not here like pointing fingers, but that is something that you're like, what's really underneath that? Do you not like this person? Why do you want to embarrass this person? What's going on with that? That kind of dynamic. Yeah. I'm like, nobody's happy in this context right now. No one's having fun, including the people around you. Mm-hmm. So I always find that, I agree, like certain dynamics in front of other people, I think you can tell a lot about people's relationship and the mutual respect or not that's going on.
Yeah. And I think as a friend, right, we can be hearing and listening to our friends talk in a safe space and hear, like you said, different levels of comments that could lead to varying levels of concern, right? Just complaining that your significant other didn't do the dishes when you asked. Like, again, that's kind of a universal experience. And so, like, whatever, that's not harping on somebody's character or like who they are as a person. But then when you start to like dip your toe into like complaining about like personality traits, it's like, well, that is who that person is, right? To an extent, like we, of course, in relationships, we can grow and change and evolve and learn new behavior. But at the end of the day, we never or shouldn't change who we are for people. And so like finding that balance of when I'm asking my partner to like do a different behavior versus be a different person and have a different personality. It's like, well, it's maybe just like, that's not who that person is. And so like, I just wish people were like a little bit more like comfortable with breaking up and like, you know, it's just, why are we forcing this? You're not happy. And I just think, again, it's so deep in our society that we buy into this like belief that like, this is where I find like a life commitment and happiness and a family. And it's just like, yeah, but you can get all those values and things in other places as well.
Yeah, I have to imagine that's kind of what plagues people. Like I'd be lying if I said that didn't plague me.
Totally.
Time to time is we've been so used to societally, like actually needing men. I feel like you made a great point about this where it's like women didn't even have credit cards till the 1950s. We couldn't have our own.
No, 1970. I'll look up the exact date. It's like 1972, 74 is, yeah. I'll look it up for the exact date, but.
And scary. So we couldn't even own our own net worth in a bank account with just our name on it and nobody else's, like without our husband co-signing on it until the 70s. So,
yeah.
So obviously
women couldn't run in marathons because it truly was still believed that your uterus would fall out if you were running. And like, we were only good for reproductive reasons. And so like, you weren't allowed to go on runs, literally.
I don't know what to say to that. That's all new information to me.
I think you know, people have been secretly doing, women have secretly been doing things since the beginning of time, like secretly soldiers in war and whatever. But like, and for the most part, women were not able to run in official races until the 70s as well.
The woman who built the Brooklyn Bridge and said that her husband did it because she just had to like finish the project somehow.
Yep.
The NASA women, don't even get me started.
Yep.
But to that point, maybe that is, I think, why it's hard. And I see some empathy for people in that situation because we have been taught for so long in so many generations that this is the ultimate form of security. But we just live in a different time now. And I feel like that was part of what you were sharing with me that day. You were like, marriage no longer like traditionally benefits women anymore. We are, thank God, like the pay gap is closing, like equality is coming. Mm-hmm. It's not equal, but like we're making strides to the point where women are outperforming men in a lot of categories. Thumbs up. We're outperforming them some in pay, in our professional lives. Like, so we don't need the money part. We also have really deep emotional relationships with our friends usually, like female friendship.
We should, yes.
It's huge, and we should prioritize those things. So to me also, it's like, wow, this the real reason I want a partner now is not for the money. Like, I have money, I'm good. I can buy a house, I can like go do whatever I need to do and fund my life and travel and do all these things. Like, I really, what we're really left with wanting and what feels like the true need is like partner that adds value to our life and vice versa. And to me, it's like, now I feel like women are so much more concerned with what's your EQ? Can you communicate through this topic with me effectively? Are you a good partner? Do we really feel like a team? And do we make each other's lives better? You know, I feel like the bar for marriage was so low because we needed a partner. We needed money. We needed a home. We needed a roof over our heads. It doesn't mean that no one ever married for romance. Of course, there's like gorgeous love stories weaved all through that. But like, we don't need them as society is evolving. And I feel like that was such a good part of your point that like now women look for other things and like the bar has been raised in relationships in general, marriage or not, like partnership in general, the bar has been raised and we are feeling less and less satisfied by people we date because they just want to provide all these like traditional things that I can already provide for myself.
Yep.
I'm like, oh no, I don't want that. I want you to be able to like sit with me on the couch at the end of the day and like talk about something important with me and be fully present. And like, that's what I need from you. So
yeah, totally. Yeah. And I think, again, we can get those things, like I said, and like you said, elsewhere, like in other valuable relationships and friendships. Yeah, I think people need to be a little bit more honest with themselves about how much do you like your partner? Like, I really don't think people like their partner that much. Like, I don't. I think, and again, I'm like very much speaking in like generalization here, and I understand like the danger of that. So I'm not speaking about everyone or all examples or whatever. I don't know. Like you said, I don't want people to get all like offended here. But for the most part, women are maybe not fully satisfied with the like at home unpaid housework labor, the division of that, right? And I think parenting can then fall under that category as well. Mm-hmm. And then we like complain and complain and complain and complain and are just not happy. And then it's like, okay, well, if they're not serving value to your life and your home, then you could go clean your house by yourself and not take care of another child, right? Like, your partner should not be another child. They should be adding value in your life in other ways. And so like, if they're not like doing their share of the work, then why are you with them? And then the second part is just like liking them as a person and like enjoying spending time with them. Like, do you like to watch things together and do things together? It doesn't mean you have to do everything together, but like, do you have inside jokes? Do you like laugh on a daily basis, right? I think this is something on the internet a lot. I don't know if you're familiar with this idea that like a lot of, especially like toxic masculine men actually hate women. And so like the running joke is like, I actually don't think you are straight. You hate women based on like how you talk about women, talk about women's things, right?
Right.
I know a lot of Black women, it's called the Beyonce test. Have you ever heard of this before?
No, tell us.
This idea like that when you're on a first date, Black women will often ask like, well, what are your thoughts on Beyonce? And based on the man's response, it will tell you everything you need to know about how a man views, you know, Black female success and empowerment and things like that. So if you're loud about like how much you hate Taylor Swift, because again, typically Taylor Swift is like a more female dominated.
Yeah,
exactly. Woman. Like, okay, well, maybe you just hate women, right? Like, or like hate women's success. And like, why are we partnering with men who feel this way about us and about you, right? I'd say voting is a similar thing. Like, who your partner votes for, I think matters. Like, I do. And I judge people who, like, even if you say, well, that's not mine, but like, okay, that's how your partner feels about people and groups of people. So like, that should matter to people.
Yeah. Getting into that more, do you feel like there's room for political dissonance nowadays? I feel like it also worked in a very polarizing time with a very polarizing president, regardless of how you feel about
totally.
Him or not. But do you feel like there's room for that or not as much anymore? For that to work, for you to.
I feel like in the traditional, like political ideology speak, yes, of course, you could have political ideology that leans more conservative versus more liberal and be very fine in a relationship. Like you said, though, today, I just personally don't think we're still operating under the same traditional ideology norms of conservative versus liberal or Republican versus Democrat. And so, in my personal opinion, this is just my personal opinion. No, because we're not operating under ideology, right? Like, it's not about like you're fiscally conservative. Like, I hate when people say that. Like, I just like, I can't, right? We're talking about like how we treat people and like human rights at this point, right? Like, so yeah, I personally do not think so. I don't know if you disagree with me or not.
I was thinking the same thing where it could have used to be a different 100%. Conversation. Ugh, I forgot Blank owns Tuck. We're going to get shadow banned.
I wasn't going to say his name, so.
Sorry. Maybe I'll just bleep it out.
Yeah.
I think this is really good to talk about. We can gab and talk about dumb bitch stuff and talk about this. And I think it's really important. I think there's multitudes and we need to normalize that too. I think it's helpful to talk about it and not under the guise of we're trying to offend anybody or we're going to fuck up when we talk about these things. But at least we are trying to get underneath some of this stuff is like what I love the most about my friendship with you is that we get to do that in a safe space and we're never claiming to know anything. Like, again, it's
100%.
Like, we're not reliable sources. Take what you want with a grain of salt. And we are figuring this out like alongside people. But I would love to dig in a little bit to your point of also, I think people get, again, a lot of societal pressure, like even as a person who's been single however intermittently throughout the past couple of years, like I get lots of older, whether it's not so much my family members, but plenty of like women in society are like, so that's the next valuable thing you have to offer. It still has that
totally
societal currency to it. And I think women do feel a lot of that pressure to make other women in their lives happy or feel like they have that thing to offer. And it's hard, I think, to build up maybe more inner confidence to be like, oh yeah, that's not for me right now, but I have X, Y, and Z going on. Like sometimes I think, wait, I have so much going on that I could tell you about, but you're not asking about it because the only thing you really care about in this conversation is if I'm in a relationship or not. So I'm wondering about that, where that's very real. And I have a lot of empathy for women who are like, I don't know how to answer that question. That's really hard because I feel like I'm disappointing that person, or like, you know, those people make you feel a certain way about it, which is also not right. Like, how do we get more internally confident to not have to, when we feel like we need to answer that question, we go anxiety spiral and then like go get on Hinge and then like settle for less than we should so that we can have a different answer to that question. How do we go far enough upstream where we stop that from happening? Because I do think it's a downstream effect from how other people, maybe in relationships or not, make single people feel about their status. So I think the lack of support sometimes, and there's amazing supportive people also, like thank God it's 2025. I feel like we're living in a different era, but there's a lot of times still that are going to come up where you're like, shoot, am I like, I need to do something. I'm a problem to be solved and I need to do something about this. I think that's something societally we have some work to do so that people don't feel, in this case, straight women don't feel this panic to go and find someone just so they can say yes to that question. That's also
I think it's a little twofold. Like one, a tangible easy thing as a friend is to like stop perpetuating that, right? Like I just met a couple new friends. I hadn't met them before. We went out for drinks. And like, of course, eventually the conversation got to like people's dating and like where everyone was at. But like, we didn't start there. It was well into the night before we got there. We very much talked about career and childhood and where we're from before we got to that. So like, just be aware of those conversations. When you're in a space with a lot of women and we're having these conversations, like how much of the airtime is about marriage and children? And like, just be mindful of, especially if you have friends that aren't in those stages of life, like that you're not only asking those questions or talking about those things. So I think that's something we all can individually do, is just like not be the first thing, or even don't even ask, like a little bit, right? Like ask about other things that show that there's value in other ways.
Yeah.
I also think another tangible thing is just like celebrating life experiences and achievements that are beyond the weddings and babies, right? Like celebrating the careers and the new jobs and the dogs and the new friends and the new house and whatever it is, right? But just really putting them on equal pedestals of like sending gifts, sending cards, texting, checking in, like just like we would do with those other two life events, we should be doing with our friends in other realms as well. I think are easy ways as a member of society, we can combat against this. Yeah. As for like the second part about like, how could somebody who maybe is feeling the societal pressure not as much? I mean, that's definitely like a harder thing to tackle. But I do think it's a little bit about like waking up and like being aware of just like I said, like what percentage of our conversations are about these things, and like trying to move the needle, even if it's a little bit, by changing the subject, bringing up something else, like just over time, like, that helps.
Yeah. Even I think changing your like media landscape a little bit too. Again, we don't need to be so hyper curated about everything in life. But I realized, I think for a while I was following a lot of people that after I saw their content, for whatever reason, I felt like shit about myself. So I was like, I think I gotta like block out this noise a little bit and unfollow some of these people. And so I listen to married creators, queer creators, people who have vastly like different life experiences than me, because I think it gives you more of a 360 of like getting 100% outside of yourself a little bit. But also, if you're not seeing, like, Instagram is also like a very I feel like Instagram is the marriage babies, like where you post those big life moments, which is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think when you see that over and over, and maybe that's the only thing in your algorithm or in your timeline, you start to think, oh my gosh, I'm not bringing those things to the forefront. So I don't have any value. Like I have nothing to offer in that space. And then that could lead you down a spiral or whatever. I also had to start following a lot of amazing, actively dating, like powerful women, because I also really respect them. And I get so invested in their journeys just as much as my friends who are like getting pregnant and having kids and doing family planning and also all of that really important stuff. But I think the diversification and normalizing what you see, and I've normalized totally. Seeing successful, independent women in their late 20s, early, late 30s, like thriving and doing really cool things in life. And that makes me be like, yeah, why not me? Why not me? I'm doing that too. Like, this is so exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's less alienating. It's not like, oh, something's wrong with me if I'm not blank, right? Like, yeah. If I'm not doing blank, it's like, oh, look at all these people doing all these other different things.
People
totally.
Are
I think that's great.
All kinds of different lives. And sometimes we're just seeing one very small piece of the pie. And I think we shoot ourselves in the foot sometimes with that. Yeah. I feel like you're kind of the queen of this convo. I'm thinking about someone who, and honestly, this is probably me, like 3 to 5 years ago, I just felt way more insecure about not being in the same phase per se that maybe my friends were, or not having a relationship to comment on in the moment when my friends were dating someone.
Yeah, I feel like that's been more of a you question of like how have you grown or changed, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of different things. I think you have to, it sounds so silly, you have to start becoming proud of yourself and really liking yourself. I genuinely love spending time with myself. I think I'm a good hang, and from that comes growing, evolving inner confidence. And then I'm like, this is fun. I know I'm fun. And when the right person comes along, that's like a great value add, and I'm a value add to their life, that's going to be such like a mutually beneficial, exciting beginning of something with someone. But also I think it's so easy. Like, your 20s are so hard mentally. I'm sure as a man also, but as a woman, like, these things are real and you do think about them a lot. And my 20s was filled with like plenty of mini spirals about all sorts of things. I think it's also really important to know, like, you have to get out of your head sometimes. Some of the worst things, when it's like banging around in here, it's all just happening up here. And mm-hmm. you need to get out of yourself. Like, you need to literally go outside and touch grass, or like go for a walk and reset your nervous system and be like, I'm just having a moment. If you can learn to like get outside of your feelings and hover above them and be like, huh, I'm really activated about this right now. Let me just like go on a walk and try to regulate myself a little bit. Like, I can be upset about it later, or I can journal about it later. I think if you can say outside of yourself, hey, I'm really activated by this, I wonder why. Maybe this is something I should bring to my next therapy appointment, or maybe this is something I should talk to my friend about. I read The Four Agreements a lot in my 20s, which is a really short read. I think it's like one of those reads you could read once a year. It's like really useful. And it's just the reminder that nothing is really that personal to you at all. But we're all kind of covert narcissists in a way. And we're all like, think that they're like, oh, they're thinking about me, or they think that I'm not doing this thing, or I'm enough. No, they're not. No one's thinking about you. And that is a huge, enormous relief. Like, no one is thinking and overanalyzing your life as much as you are. And no one is thinking about like your things that you think are a mistake or not enough. You are thinking of those. People are worried about their own lives and their own problems, and they are moving forward trying to solve their own thing. Like, mm-hmm. everyone has their own shit. And I think that also gave me a lot of freedom and confidence to be like, oh, everybody's dealing with shit. So let's just keep it moving and continue to be like honest and talk to people about it. And then you'd be shocked. Vulnerability begets vulnerability. And then I start talking to people about it and be like, yeah, I'm having kind of a hard time with this. And they're like, that's crazy. Like, I never thought about that for you one time. And also, I'm struggling with this. And I left feeling so normalized. So I think it does just take time and years of like getting outside of yourself, normalizing seeing other people with like lives that you want and wondering why you want them, and like doing some of that internal work. I honestly have been in therapy since I was 16, and I'm just someone that needs that. But I think every once in a while, like every month, every 6 weeks, if you can verbalize it to someone who's in a non-judgmental, like unbiased environment, I found it really beneficial. And then just like what you fill yourself up with, like whether it's on your timeline or what you read or the friends that you are around, it's like, if that's the prize and they care about this one thing, maybe you need to change up your company. Maybe you need to go find new friends in a similar life stage as you. I love all my married friends, but if I didn't have single friends, that I would be unhappy. Like, I need to find women who are also like out here dating, and you can like level with them and their experience, and you bond through that. So there's so many things. I'll think of more, I'm sure, but those are like, that's what comes to mind for me, is you gain more confidence year after year too. Sometimes I also think it's just getting older. Like, it's hard. Everybody has bad days with like anything in their life, whether they're married, partnered or not. And I think it's also really important to remember that. Like, don't marginalize yourself as a group. I know society makes you feel like that from time to time, but like, I think we're growing out of it. I think it's a really exciting time to be in that position, and you have to believe it first before, and other people will continue to believe it about you. So yeah, I don't know, a little bit of everything, but
yeah. And just like dreaming big, like, again, happily married.
Yeah.
Love that I found a person that like I love to spend time with and is a best friend, but like I have lots of best friends, but like I have bigger dreams for us than just like, yay, we got married and we live together. Like, you and I talk a lot about this. Like, I care more about like living in like a cul-de-sac or a community with other best friends. Like, I don't really like, we, where we live now, I'm like, this is great for now, but like where I want to settle is actually more about like my friendships and like, can I like almost like cultivate a little community, a commune of like, we all just like live as neighbors. That's what I care more about than like just living with him. So that's my dream. I dream about one day. Okay, I did find the text. I think most of our convo was like in person, so I don't know how much we have from the text, but I do like, you had said you don't need a husband was the title, which I do like more than marriage is bad for women, because we're very much speaking from two like heterosexual POVs. And so like, I do think, and again, like if somebody's ready to like hear that conversation, like ultimately that is the root of our like patriarch in our society, is that like society has pushed this on us. And, but I don't think people are quite ready for that, but I have a resource if anyone's interested. But I do like the title more, you don't need a husband. Husbands more than marriage optional. Is bad. Yep. I like that too. I like that too.
Cause we love, what else do we men? Say? That's the other thing. It's like, no one loves men more than me. You love men. It's not about being a man hater. Like, that's not about finding what is like genuinely beneficial for you as a person, and are you guys both, is it a mutually beneficial relationship? I think I didn't realize how many people aren't in mutually beneficial relationships.
And like, is it, are you having fun? Like, please just ask yourself, what, again, at any stage of the dating, if the dating process is not fun, then go find fun somewhere else. If the like committed relationship is not fun, then get out of it. If the marriage is not fun, get out of it. We, like you said, we don't need this. So like, why we're just like willing to like suffer for this idea of like commitment and like tradition is like, I don't understand that that's what we care about. Like, it is a beautiful thing to commit to somebody and like know that you have somebody like no matter what. I very much value that. But like, if this isn't enjoyable and you're not like enjoying it, like, why do we do it? Why? I feel like we just look around and see so many people doing it that aren't enjoying it. And I'm like, why? Well, I don't understand. But it's because of society, like you talked about earlier.
What would you say to women who come back with that and they're like, but Alex, I really want kids, and there is like a biological timeline and this pressure that like uniquely women are under. Like, how do we navigate that part of being a woman with also like wanting the best relationship for ourselves?
Yeah, I don't have my own children. Like, so I don't know from my perspective right now. Like, I would hope that you're with a partner who is going to be an equal partner in raising kids. And so like those marriages where men aren't equally showing up or a part of it, it's like, well, you could just be doing it by yourself and then having the fun part of like being with people who like you and love you and bring joy. Like, you already are kind of doing it by yourself. So I don't understand why we would like be committed to somebody who's like causing more resentment and suffering. You know, like, there's a way to have kids without being in a marriage. Again, I know it's a little like untraditional and our society values tradition, but like, I just personally don't understand this mindset of like wanting children so badly that I'm willing to like be miserable in my relationship. It's like, well, you could have kids in another avenue or another way. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. And also, I have to imagine that feeling lonely in a relationship is worse than just living by yourself, or
that's what I would think,
alone, because I feel like you're only as alone as you're made to feel. And if you feel lonely, feeling alone in relationships is a awful, like, haunting feeling. So,
and then I can't even imagine adding kids on top of that. Like, again, like Max and I have these conversations all the time of just like, there's the two of us. And so even if I was living by myself, the level that I like our house, like tidy and clean, like I would be doing even if I lived by myself. And so like, that doesn't really bother me that like, I maybe mathematically am spending more time wiping down the kitchen counters because like it bothers me more than it bothers him. And I would have done that if I lived by myself. But as soon as you start throwing other people into the mix, like, no, now we really need to talk about the 50-50 divide and labor, because like now we're taking care of other people, right? And just like the mental load that women have of planning the birthday parties, calling the doctor, knowing the doctor's name, doing all the school contacts, right? Like doing all the sports signups, like summer camp signups, like the mental load of all that, like personally, I'm not willing to do that, carry that more. And so like, that's a conversation like me and my partner will have and do have, we have these conversations all the time, but like some people are just okay with that. And like, that's fine. If you're okay with it, that's great. That's just personally not how I want to live my life.
Right. I feel like it goes back to that question of just ask everybody's version of like happiness and fulfillment in a relationship is going to look different. I think it's the being honest with yourself and going back and saying, am I happy in this? Am I fulfilled? Do I feel like I'm being heard, seen, known, loved? Like two things came to mind when you said that from my board of directors. One of them is Brené Brown. And she says that marriage isn't 50-50, it's 100-100. And that was like such a powerful reframe to me where I'm like, oh, whoa, like you guys are, if you have two people going above and beyond and not coming from the posture of I'm just getting to my 50% and then I'm done and I'm good and I can like go do what I want. It's like two people giving 100%. That's huge. Like that makes, I would have to imagine that makes for a much happier mutual beneficial partnership. And then it also reminded me of Glennon when she was like in her first marriage that she wasn't happy with and they were having issues and she was like braiding her daughter's hair and she was like thinking about it and she was like, would I want this marriage for her? And she was like, no, like I'm not happy. I'm not fulfilled. I can't imagine reflecting a life to her that she's going to think is okay to settle for if I don't get myself out of this and do something differently and make a different decision. And I thought that was so powerful too, of like, if you wouldn't want it for someone that you love, why do you want it for yourself? Like the people you love don't want that for you. And so, and also that doesn't immediately mean, I feel like that's another misconception where it's like everyone's snipping toward divorce or breakup. Like it could also mean maybe that's just a conversation of like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. Maybe we've never talked about this, but I feel like I have a lot of the mental labor in this house. Like, would you be open to going and talking about that with a counselor and like working through that? I also don't want it to seem like we're automatically like kick anyone to the curb. I feel like sometimes we are a little bit quick to do that nowadays. And maybe that's the right thing to get out of that relationship. But also if you have a partner who's willing to grow and you guys just maybe got stuck, I think there could be so much room for improvement if you have a partner with a growth mindset also. Like there's so many different ways to put yourself in a better position.
Yeah. And I agree. And it goes back to even picking our partners in the first place and like making sure we're truly picking someone who like we like. And I guess I feel like sometimes people pick based on like compatibility in the sense of like, well, like we both want to get married and we both want kids and we both want this. And it's like a checkbox. And it's like, well, that's not going to get you very far. Like wanting the same things does not equal like a happy, joyful, fun, funny, silly, whatever, like, you know, all those things like that. That is just not the same.
I feel like the new checklist should be then. And again, checklist, take it with a
grain. Yeah.
Is this, would a checklist item be like, is this person my best friend? Is this person, like, what would you ask instead of those things? What did you notice about
Max
that you were like, we're going to have fun for the rest of our lives. And you're also a good partner. And that's why I'm in.
Yeah. 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 And I think it's like, I keep going back, like, I just don't think a lot of people like their partner. I really don't. I just think people speak ill will and get annoyed and don't like their partner. And so it's like, you have to like each other. And I tend to like be more on the side of the woman than the man. I understand my bias there, but like tend to hear men who, again, just like don't sound like you even like women in general, like how you speak or how you act. And so why would we as women be picking those people as our partners? We got to stop.
Yeah. You need someone with a desire to understand you. And also, I think they want to be understood, but sometimes certain groups of men are so on the defense and like lean into this unhealthy, toxic behavior of like, that's all they have left is to do that. And I'm like, if you want to be understood and you're as lonely as this male epidemic is like telling us you are, then treat our like wants and desires and needs from you like they are equally as real and legitimate. I also feel like that is a problem when you can't even see or put yourself in your partner's shoes and really display true empathy or want to display true empathy from your partner. We have a problem. I don't know how far you're going to get without being able to do that for each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we, like you said, we don't need this anymore. So like be picky. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
We should have such high standards and
we don't need it. So when we do have it, let's make sure it's really good.
Yes.
And worth our time.
Yes. But I don't think society, I really don't think society believes that we don't need it. Like, I just don't.
No, we're not there yet. And no, I think a lot of women can't believe it yet inside themselves. And I hope that we continue to build that confidence over time. And by the way, nobody wants to find their long-term partner or be in love. And I like personally would love to get married more than me. So it's someone who like very much has that desire, but that is not, that's not my son. I want all of those things, but I'm not going to do that with the wrong partner. I don't want it that badly.
Yeah. You're not willing to give up, suffer in other ways for it, right? Correct. Like again, suffering in your happiness, your peace, your all those things is not worth it.
Women also work so hard. And I feel like we work hard emotionally, spiritually, physically in our jobs. Like we work really hard to create and cultivate a life that we love. And I have been guilty in the past of just like giving that up and giving up so much mental real estate and changing my plans to do this thing to appease this person. And it's like, I've worked too hard for that now. It doesn't mean it's not a compromise. Like nothing is black and white. This is all shades of gray, but I've worked really hard and now I created a life that like I love and I'm so excited about that. You gotta be adding value. And vice versa, I'd hope I would be a value add to your life. And if I'm not, why are you dating me?
So that could be another checklist criteria. Like not only do they add value, but like say it, name it. How do they add value? How? Like it should be tangible things. Like
do they listen to you? Do they make you feel heard?
And I'm sorry, like at the end of the day, I know this is going to sound shallow, but like they should do shit for you. Like we should both be doing things for each other. Like if they're not doing shit for you, why are you here?
Can you tell us, Alex, all the stuff Max does for you? Because I'm serious,
he does everything
and brings that to you because he
the tiniest things for you. Makes my coffee every day. Like again, these are tiny little things. Like he preps my coffee every night, so when I wake up it's being brewed when I wake up. Like tiny little things, but like fills my gas up. I don't get gas anymore. Like he's done that ever since we've lived together. We know each other's strengths, like who is better at what. So like our housework does just look different, but that's what works for us. Like you just need to find what works for you and everyone is different. And again, this is how I feel.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean everybody feels this way. I don't know. Maybe you're okay with not liking your person. Like, okay, then you do you. Like, I'm not trying to yuck anyone else's yum here. I'm just saying I wouldn't be okay with
it. You're so funny. No, I think it's good. I think you have to come to these conversations open-minded, being willing to hear it. Doesn't mean you have to adopt it. We're just like exploring. It's changing all the time. So I find it so fascinating to like talk through these shifts. And I personally think it's a really exciting shift. And I hope it requires everybody to step up their like game and their relationship game if they want to be in a relationship. Like, I'd hope that would require me to be the best version of myself and vice versa for my partner.
And we're all like a part of this, right? Like, again, like as the friend, how are we talking to our friends who aren't in a relationship? We all play a role in this. So like we can all be better and do better. And this is not like 100%. Me being married, speaking down to other people who's not like, but I very much am fascinated by these conversations. I don't know what that says about me that like I listen to like divorce podcasts. Like I don't, to me, it's like exposure therapy a little bit. I don't know. It's like, and maybe if I know all these things about it, then it's less likely to happen to me. I don't know the mindset, but like resources, like if anyone is interested, a good follow on Instagram, her name is, she is Paige Turner, talks so much about the mental load and just the unpaid labor that women do versus men in a typical heterosexual relationship. I enjoy her content very much.
Love.
This American Ex-Wife is a podcast I really like. The host is a little annoying in my opinion, but like I like her content and the topics and her guests, so I listen. And then that book, which is kind of who I heard about this author through that podcast. She interviewed the author, The Tragedy of Heterosexuality by Jane Ward. I really enjoyed that episode, and I haven't read the book, but it's on my list to get to.
Yeah, maybe as you read it, you can like give us the golden nuggets, you know, as you
I listened to her interview, so like I feel like I know the idea behind it, and I think really it's maybe the root of the issues that we see and people have, in my opinion. But
cool.
No, I that's love just the my opinion,
guys. As they said on Housewives, it's just my opinion. We'll put that in the notes, though, for the show. If you read show notes, we can put those.
Yeah, let's do it.
But no, I appreciate this, Girk. And I also think it, two things came to mind when you were saying that was, one, I think it also speaks to the freedom that you feel in your marriage, in your relationship, to go listen to all those things. If you felt like you couldn't, I think I'd be like, blink twice or you being
molested. Oh, we listen together. Like we, it's very much, and then let's talk about it. Like, it's not even just like, yeah, like talk about it. Let's.
I think that's another beige red flag. Like if you feel like you can't bring up topics with your partner.
Oh my gosh. My least favorite thing that people will say is that we don't believe in divorce. My baby girl is getting up. I'm sorry. I might have to cut this. Baby girl, come here.
Come on, baby girl.
She might have to go to the bathroom. I might have to wrap this up.
We're wrapping.
Okay. But I hate when people say, we don't believe in divorce. Like another red flag of just like nobody gets married, obviously hoping or even thinking they're going to get divorced. But if you're not happy, we should normalize getting out of that relationship. And so the way that people are just like okay with being unhappy and building resentment, it's just like drives me nuts personally. Yeah. But
okay,
why you would rather be in an unhappy marriage versus not married and happy is confusing to me.
Okay, we're going to end this. Thank you, Alex. You did so good. I'm going to wrap it up with a quote from our
Please,
Bible.
I have time. I'm so sorry.
I think that this, let's see, what question kind of pertains to what we're talking about today? So many. They're life's most existential questions.
Yeah, let's hear one.
Okay, let's see. Maybe I should just open to a random page and see what we get.
Love that idea.
Leave it up to fate.
I mean,
this says, how do I return to myself?
Love.
I return to myself when I accept that nothing will change until I do. That feels very fitting.
Love that. Let's end there.
We're in the driver's seat. We're the only ones.
Amen.
Changing our lives in any
we
way.
Have free will, everybody.
It's quite
don't forget it.
Only up to us, which is such a crazy thing to realize and learn, but also very freeing.
But I love these conversations.
Me too.
I'm passionate about it. So thanks for chatting.
Things are chatting.
They're just my opinions. You don't have to agree with me.
Blah blah blah.
All right, I have to go be a mother. My baby girl is getting crazy.
See, she's
okay,
she's so traditional when you think about it. Like she's out here.
No, I 100% am. Like again, I'm gonna get misunderstood. I already know that. It's fine. You and my birth chart says I don't like to be misunderstood. It's
this
okay.
I'm gonna test you, but I think it's gonna be good.
Okay. Love you so much.
Love you too. Talk to you soon, honey. Go be a mom.
Bye.